This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Alrighty, third hour. What's happening? Third hour. Hour number 3 on the show. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. What's good? Come on in. If you've been here, stick around one more hour. Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. Busy day. Like the last few days, very eclectic show. Mm-hmm. Hopping around, bouncing around. Rodgers, Zach Wilson, NBA draft tomorrow, with MLB trade deadline on Friday. I'm looking forward to this conversation. Talk about the NBA draft, and we'll hear, I think most people who follow this know the first few names you'll hear, obviously Cunningham, Jalen Green, Mobley, Suggs, some others. But Cunningham is, number one, a terrific player, and we have his coach right now from college, Mike Boynton from OK State. But also there's a chance that, you know, the Rockets, who have been positioned to reportedly as very aggressive to maybe flip and scoop up to that one spot to get Cade. So we don't really know where. I believe the Pistons will still take him. But we wanted to get a chance to learn a little bit more about the great prospect. He's got a ton of game. Seems like a really well-rounded, good kid, fundamentally sound. But we'll get the full scouting report from his coach, Mike Boynton. Coach, Tiki and Tierney, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I need to give a disclaimer. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York.
I know.
And I'm a huge Giants fan.
There it is.
Football Giants. So Giants. I want to thank Tiki for holding it down for the G-men for so long and bringing us a world championship. So I appreciate you, Tiki.
I appreciate you, even though I wasn't on that team at the time they won a championship. I timed it wrong, Coach. I retired, and they went 1-1
me. Before we won the first one.
That's right. It's all good, though. Timing's a bitch sometimes. It is what it is.
Coach, you're a Lachlan guy. So you went to Bishop Lachlan, right? Mark Jackson School. What year did you get out of Lachlan?
Yeah. Could you?
I finished high school in 2000.
Okay, so you're still a young guy. Mark was there in the early 80s, obviously, before St. John's. Gotcha.
So you're a little bit younger than us. You're not even quite 40 yet. You're the head coach.
Young man, Mike Boynton.
I love this. You know, we're going to get to Cade in a second, Cade Cunningham. I heard you talking about how you were really worried about his future and held him out of the Big 12 tournament. I think that's commendable because not a lot of coaches are going to go down that route. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what your thoughts were when you saw this whole re-shaking up of the Big 12, because Texas wants to leave and Oklahoma wants to leave, and now it's more affecting on the football side, but obviously it affects the basketball team and all the other sports, Olympic and otherwise as well. What were your thoughts when you saw this come down, and what do you think, you know, 2 weeks or so later?
Yeah, you know, like everybody, I was kind of surprised on one hand, just because it kind of came out of nowhere to the general public, and I would include myself in the general public on this one because I didn't see it coming myself. But on the other hand, right, college sports in many ways is big business. And every company, institution that in this area has an opportunity to try to do what's best for their institution and for their students and their student-athletes and their alums. And so I would imagine that they were very thorough in this process. And obviously it's going to have an effect on the landscape of college athletics, both football and basketball and all the other sports. But I'm sure that, you know, we've been here before. We've seen realignment. It seems like these are becoming closer and closer to becoming super conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll see. We'll see how the TV plays out in this whole deal because obviously that's a big part of it.
Listen, we're going to adjust. I mean, you just, you know, where you grew up, you know that you grew up with Syracuse in the Big East, and now Syracuse is in the ACC, which was unimaginable for us growing up in New York back in the day, watching them at the Garden during the tournament all the time and doing their thing in front of 30,000 people up there at the Carrier Dome. But it is interesting in this sense here, Mike, because you have the consensus first overall pick tomorrow night in Cade Cunningham. So that will obviously bolster recruiting. But you're also in a situation where kids want to know what their immediate future holds. So if you don't know what the conference will look like, how I know you sell the program and you sell the merits of how you protect kids and what you believe in. I get that. But kids still want to know who they're playing against and where. So how do you navigate that as you pitch these young studs that you try to bring to OK State?
Yeah, it's definitely created a new conversation in recruiting over the last 2 weeks, and you know, one that we're adjusting to as we get more information. But at the end of the day, we feel really strong about where we'll end up at the end of this. We know we have a strong program that's been successful over many years, and obviously Cade and his success is going to continue to help us sell that story to guys who want to do what he was able to do, come in and have a really successful career. Even for him, it was just 1 year, and then being positioned because of some of that success at Oklahoma State to go and be a high, high lottery pick, probably the first pick in the draft. And also now you're dealing with NIL and the interest that these kids can take in their own careers. Yep. And, you know, so there's a lot of changing in college athletics. But I'll tell you what I focus on every day is just trying to be the best coach and person I can be to help these guys grow, yep, knowing that most of them are not going to go do what Kay's going to do tomorrow night.
Right? Exactly.
And so how we prepare those kids for what's coming out after they're done playing. Like, you know, Tiki was a trailblazer in many ways. Barry Sanders did it. Guys retiring early. Mm-hmm. But for most of these kids, it won't be voluntary.
That's right.
That they just walk away from the sport that they're in. So they need to enjoy being a part of sports and as part of teams as much as possible, no matter what level they're playing at.
Yeah, and you're right. As a coach, you've got to be adaptable. Otherwise, you get passed on the highway. It is what it is. Adapt or die. So I feel you. Mike Boynton is with us, the head coach of Oklahoma State. Cade Cunningham, probably one, certainly top two or three tomorrow night, and he coached him for a year with the Cowboys.
So let's get down to him. And I hear what you're saying, Coach, because, you know, Cade was banged up at the end of the regular season. He missed the final regular season game. You talked about it, and we played the sound at the time, about you being open to sitting him in the Big 12 tournament if he wasn't ready because his future was most important. So developing that kind of trust and relationship with a kid is invaluable because, you know, it's not just about winning right now. It's about what's coming in the future. But what can you tell us about Cade as an athlete, but also as a person? Because I think that's going to matter, especially if he goes to a place that is going to need some restarting, like Detroit or even maybe Houston as well.
Yeah, I feel really fortunate to be where I am today, not only having been able to coach Cade for a year and have him on a team that helped us play an NCAA tournament in advance to the second round, but I've known Cade since he was 14 years old. I was the first coach to ever recruit him when he was a freshman in high school before he played a high school game, and I just had so much time to get to know him and his family and what they're about. And they're a blue-collar, hard-working family. His mom and dad are both at the home. They're tremendously supportive. He's got an older brother who also played high-level basketball, played at SMU, and then had a short career in Europe. And so he's really grounded in hard work and a foundation of just continuing to have some humility about him. And that was the thing that I was most impressed about. You know, Cade came into college as the highest-rated recruit ever.
Wow.
Not just in Oklahoma State, but no one was ever rated higher than him coming out of high school.
That's amazing.
To come into college with those kind of accolades and still show up and have a great attitude, want to be one of the guys,
that's amazing.
Not expect to be treated better than anybody, was truly a joy because it made coaching everybody else that much easier when the best guys fall in the line.
Yeah.
And you know, you guys have been around sports teams for a long time. You know when the best guy, when Tim Duncan's allowing Greg Popovich to coach him, it makes it much easier for him to coach Sean Elliott and Avery Johnson and the rest of the guys who are not as talented but also really important to success.
Mike, I just want to be sure I'm clear on something. I heard you, but so it was the highest recruit ever. I mean, you know, I remember what it was like when he was at Cambridge. Well, I mean, certainly, I don't know if I really recall in real time, but the story since when he had Mike Jarvis at Cambridge in Latin, Ewing, or Kenny Anderson, or Marbury, he was rated higher than everybody. That to me is amazing.
Yeah, so I don't know if they were doing rankings like that then, right? So that may be a little bit of a nuance here.
Okay.
But as far as what, since the ranking system has been in place, and it's probably only been in place the last 20, 25 years.
Gotcha.
No one's been rated higher coming into college.
Got it.
I think the guy previous to him was like maybe Ben Simmons or Anthony Davis, and he was like a couple points ahead of those guys coming into college.
That's amazing. You know, Teague and I, we have coaches on all the time, and when we talk about the college game, which is ever-evolving, and we just chronicled some of the reasons why before, NIL, et cetera, you know, one thing that we tend to latch onto and that we really, really believe in, certainly Tiki was a star, but I also played college sports, so I get it. I'd like to think the authenticity when a coach comes into a recruit's living room, whether it's mom and dad, aunt, uncle, combination, big brother, you know, guardian, whomever. And, you know, a lot of coaches throw around, well, in the best interest of the young man, I'll really make sure I look out for him. They're just looking for that. I'm not saying that they don't want the kid to do well, but they're thinking money, they're thinking personal success, and they're thinking if I have to, I'll recruit over him. But to keep Cunningham out, it's not like you've been coaching for 20 years. You're only a couple of years in. You've had success. You've made some money. But you're still trying to blaze your trail. And let's face it.
Absolutely.
If you have Cunningham, you might wind up in the Elite Eight of the Final Four, which obviously propels you to a different level, a different tier.
No doubt.
So you're talking the talk, and you're walking the walk. And I would guess that you're in the minority on that. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I try not to judge others. I don't know what everybody does and what their motives are, what their personal circumstances are. I know everybody has a different set of circumstances in life. I was fortunate. I was one of the few guys. If it wasn't for athletics, I probably wouldn't have been in the position to have the college success that I had, getting my degree paid for, and then kind of using that as a springboard into a career as a coach now.
Yeah.
So I have a great feel and understanding of what this experience is really about for most people, right? And I talk about this with genuine understanding that most guys are like me. Like, they're not playing a down or a snap or a jump ball or a pitch of professional sports, right?
Yeah.
So for the lion's share of these kids, there has to be someone helping them navigate. Now, with Cade, it's a different story. So in that regard, I have to make sure that I'm genuine and honest about what I'm going to do to try to help him achieve that goal, because it's more realistic for him, obviously, right? And so when I sit in his living room and I tell his parents, when Cade has a hard time, I'm going to be there for him.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be able to show that. And Cade went down with an injury in our second to last regular season game. And I made a decision for him that he wasn't going to play in our last regular season game. That kid's a competitor. He wanted to play. He was disappointed when he couldn't play. But I knew it wasn't worth whatever the risk was at that time.
Yeah.
And so we got him healthy. He was able to come back for the NCAA tournament for us and help us win a game. But I try as much as I can to be a man of my word. And when I sat in his parents' house and told them that I was going to look out for him, I wanted to make sure that a year now at this point, that they can look back and say, Coach did exactly what he said he was going to do when he came into our house with our son.
Yeah.
And that's more gratifying to me than any number of games he won or however many awards he won or anything that may even happen tomorrow night, is that they can look at me and say that you can trust Mike Boynton.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome, Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Coach, what does he need to work on once he gets to the league? Obviously, it's a different game. The physicality is different. You know, the expectation is not a ton of practice time. BT and I talk about this all the time. Summer league, obviously, you get to get a lot of run, but there's not a ton once the season starts. What's he got to do in order to rise to the expectation that's going to be set with him if he's the number one overall pick, which seemingly is going to be next tomorrow?
I always tell Kay this: you can't focus on the big picture. Now, he is extremely goal-oriented. And he wants to be an NBA All-Star, and he wants to be All-NBA first team, and he wants to win a championship. But what I focus on telling him is just be good today. Get better. Focus on learning your teammates, understanding the system wherever you're drafted. Hopefully Detroit is the number one pick. And then going in the same way you came to Oklahoma State, with some humility and understanding you're going to be a part of the success that they have. Now, they may have you on the posters, and the fans may expect you to be perfect, but don't try to live up to those expectations. Be yourself, because yourself is good enough. It got you to this point. You just can't take your foot off the gas, because now that target's even bigger, because now people's checks and families and livelihoods are really at stake when they go against you. And so this is going to be a different amount of competitive pressure put on him, but he's certainly ready for it.
We're talking to Mike Boynton, getting ready to wrap it up. OK State men's head coach and Coach Cade Cunningham for a year. Great conversation.
Yeah.
And very impressive guy. First time we've had Coach on the show. We've known the resume from a distance, but very personable, very impressive. I'm enjoying this. So, listen, I know you're biased. Of course, you want to see Cade go number one. and no smart coach would ever denigrate another player in propping up his own. But as delicately as you can, you know, weave this, what separates Cade from the other guy? Why should he go first?
Yeah, and I've seen all these kids play.
I know.
In fact, I know Evan Mobley and his parents really well. He and Cade and Jalen Green and Jalen Suggs were all on the same 19-under team 2 years ago.
I'm guessing they didn't lose often, Coach.
They won the gold medal for the U.S.
I wish they were on this United States team.
Yeah, right.
So I got a chance to spend some time with all those kids, and I admire them all. They're all really talented. I think all four of them will have great success. And many of the other guys that get drafted will be successful players. This is a really, really good draft class. But I think the thing that separates Cade, at 6'8", you don't have to figure out where he fits with your team, because Cade is good enough to fit whatever your roster looks like. So he's coming in as a point guard, and he played point guard a lot for us, but he can also play off the ball. He averaged 20 points a game, led the Big 12 in scoring. He could post up. He's a tremendous rebounder. He's a good playmaker if you don't have somebody that can lead your team. And he has unbelievable feel for what his teammates are good at and knowing how to help them maximize their success. Now, we have good players, and so I say this not to denigrate any of the other guys who were on our team last year and who are returning. But Cade made everybody better.
Yeah.
He made the game easier for everybody because he could fit with whatever other four guys are on the court. And I think that's what makes him unique. As it relates to Evan, I don't think you would want him handling the ball and making plays for you. He's a tremendous rim protector, great finisher. I think Jalen Green is an unbelievable athlete, a tremendous highlight reel waiting to happen. He's going to be a really good scorer. And, you know, Jalen Suggs is really good offensively in terms of making plays for other people. But Cade can do it all. He can take every single part of what each of those guys do well, and you have it all in one person. And I think that's what makes him the number one guy.
Yeah, can he defend? Because that's the question people ask and when you get to the NBA level.
I'll say this, and this is where I'm always honest with Cade. It's the area that he has the most room to grow in. Hmm. And it's the area that he's going to have to understand. People are going to go at him also in the NBA. They know that he's the guy, and they know that he has the reputation. So if you play well against the best guy, it helps you. So he's going to have to make sure that he's on his toes on the defensive end as much as he's out there making plays on the offensive end.
Mike, let me hit you with this for about 15, 20 seconds. Just quick response. I'm a big player comp guy, and there's a bunch of websites. I'm a big mock draft guy. I'm this way with the NFL, and I'm certainly this way with the NBA. One of these sites that I really trust, the player comp, and it's interesting, it's Jason Tatum and Luka Doncic. Mm. Do you feel that comparison?
You know what? I'm not a big comparison guy. I get why. I understand the Luka deal. Here's the only thing I'll say. Do we really know yet what Luka is?
That's a good question.
Well,
I mean,
we know he's going to
really
be great. But
2 years in here, like, it's been time to become who he is.
Yeah.
But Kay's got a lot of unique skill set. He can handle it like Luka and make plays for other people. He's a high usage guy and has great size for the position. So I get it. I understand that. I don't know if he's as scoring minded as Jason Tatum is, but he's capable of doing that. I've heard the Grant Hill comparison. I think I can see some of that as well, especially with potentially Detroit taking him. So that makes some sense to me. But, you know, I tell Cade all the time, please, again, let's try to focus on getting better and trying to be the best you that you can be.
Yeah.
Mike. Go ahead, Teek. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, love that. We got to get you on again, Coach. So many things we could ask you. I want to ask you about Dawn Staley, but we don't have time now.
Please. I love Dawn.
She is
amazing.
My
alma mater. And,
that's right.
Trailblazer and unbelievable coach and human being. So, please, anytime, I'd love to come back and talk to you guys. I really enjoyed it.
Most certainly, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
There you go. Mike Boynton.
He was an assistant at South Carolina when Dawn Staley first started at South Carolina. They were there together for, I think, 5-6 years.
Didn't we have
like
Dawn on the show once?
Yeah,
like
it was a while ago.
I feel like we did.
She's great, man.
And Mike is really impressive.
He really is.
That is an impressive guy right there. He's only a couple of years into his career. Big things coming. Cowboys fans and Cowboys, the University of OK State, good hands there with Mike Boynton. All right, coming up. So we know about Cade Cunningham. How many franchise-altering players truly are in this draft? I tend to like the draft a lot more than Tiki. I think it's a really good draft, but we'll get a little draft-specific. It's tomorrow night. We'll hit you with some names. We'll do that coming up, and also some possible trade scenarios, some big Big rumblings out there for some stars that are ready to maybe make a move. We'll hit you with that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, NBA Draft tomorrow night. Now listen, sometimes drafts, there's a lot of juice. Obviously, Zion, Ja Morant, a lot of juice there. And then there's the drafts like Anthony Bennett and Michael Olowokandi from Pacific back in the day. Not every draft is a Ewing draft. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that this is a Ewing draft or a LeBron draft, but this draft to me is damn good. And you know, I just said to Coach Boynton before, who, by the way, he was awesome.
Yeah, he was great.
He was one of my favorite guests in a long time.
I agree with you, man. He's a straight shooter.
Yeah.
You could tell he's got a good heart for his kids.
Yes.
He's not necessarily worried about where they finished in the conference. I mean, mm-hmm. the time, maybe that'll become an issue. But
yeah.
He's only in his second year.
No, 4 years he's coached there.
Oh, he was. I know he's an assistant. Yeah, you're right. Maybe you're right.
Four years.
I thought it was shorter than that. But whatever it is, it's like at this point, he doesn't have to worry about winning the Big 12 title
mm-hmm.
and getting to the Sweet 16, even though he wants to. It'll come, especially if he keeps treating kids like he treated Cade Cunningham.
No doubt. I mentioned to Coach, as you know, I'm definitely a mock head. I love jumping into mock drafts, and I do it very early. You know, for basketball, especially being involved in college basketball, I really start diving into, you know, mocks during the summer. So yep. Now I even kind of, right after this draft, I start to even take a little peek for the next year. And I say all that, not to brag. I'm just doing my job. I don't mean it in a self-patting on the back kind of a way. But I do believe that these player comparisons are interesting.
Hmm.
And the only reason I say that I'm into it as much as I am, because there are many, you know, sometimes you have, there are some people in this world, everything's the best. You know, best show we ever did, best callers, mm-hmm. best food. No, not always the best. Sometimes the show stinks. Sometimes the callers stink. Sometimes the food had hair in it. And sometimes the draft stinks. Now, this particular draft, and I'm a big player comp guy, doesn't mean that it's accurate, but at least it at least suggests star power. Cade Cunningham, as I told Coach, mm-hmm. Tatum, all right, Jason Tatum and Doncic. Take it for what you will. Jalen Green, Bradley Beal is the player comp. I'm just saying. Evan Mobley is Chris Bosh and Pau Gasol. Okay,
I can see that one actually.
Jalen Suggs is Jason Kidd and De'Aaron Fox. And in case you missed it, De'Aaron Fox had a hell of a season. All right, and even Scotty Barnes from Florida State, is comp two on the one that one of the ones that I reference here. Draymond Green, whether or not you believe he should be in the Hall of Fame, eventually he's going to be a basketball Hall of Famer. And then you mix in the backdrop of what happens with Damian Lillard, what mm-hmm. happens with Ben Simmons, what happens with Bradley Beal, to a much lesser extent, maybe even somebody like C.J. McCollum could get dealt. Tomorrow night is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun because of the last point that you made. We came into this postseason, this last NBA postseason, not necessarily thinking about, oh, this guy's going to be gone, this guy's going to move, this guy's going to go, Dame's going to do what he does. Like, we didn't think about these guys moving to new teams. It's interestingly, though, after the season ended, all we can think about is, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers getting knocked out, and Ben Simmons is garbage in the fourth quarters. And I remember BT, like, loudly, this team cannot win with Ben Simmons. He will be traded. And for the most part, everybody was saying, no, that's not going to happen. A month and a half later, Ben Simmons is on the block. Mm. He's going somewhere. And Rich Paul, his agent, is now on board with him going somewhere. So there's going to be a lot of veteran movement. And Beal, you mentioned, and Dame Lillard, you mentioned. It could be, who knows how many could go, because teams are now rethinking how they build a championship squad after what we saw with Giannis, right? And, you know, the Chris Middletons of the world, the Drew Holidays. Like, all of a sudden, these wings with these long arms and great defensive prowess that can, at times, score 30 points, they become interesting, which then takes you to the draft, right? Who are these kids? If you should move off of one of these vets, Bradley Beal or Dame, whoever it may be, who are one of these kids that you can drop in and replace, or at least better fit? Like in Portland, we've talked about this for, years, BT. We love the backcourt. Like, it's amazing. On a given night, they can score 70.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just amazing. But they're 6'1".
6'3".
6'3". 6'1", 6'3", whatever it may be. Between the two of them, they're small. And so their defensive liabilities, and while they can score out shoot the lights out, they can't defend anybody. So they end up getting outscored. And the same thing happens every year over year over year. So if Dame is unhappy, and they trade him, Portland is now in the market for a 6'4", 6'8", wing a guard like Cade Cunningham. Now, they're not going to get him, but you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
Like, you start looking for guys that can replace some of these stars that are going to move, and can they be immediately impactful? That's what this draft is interesting about. But if you're looking at this draft, to me, to find the next Giannis or the next LeBron, I'm not sure I see it. That's why I'm not down on this draft, but I don't see the superstar. This isn't the Trae Young, Luka Doncic draft from a couple of years ago. You know what I mean? So we'll see. Jalen Greed was in G League Ignite.
He's, so he, what? Kid is Luka skinny. Doncic was overseas.
He doesn't have a ton of skills, though. Luka Doncic had skills from when he was 15 years old. He could handle.
That.
He could put his back to the basket.
Huh?
He could create shots. He could fall away. Jalen Green played 1 year in the G League Ignite, and he doesn't have a ton of skill. He could shoot and score, but he doesn't have skill.
Listen, I got you. To sit here and spend 5 or 6 minutes saying, this guy's definitely going to be. It's all a projection, clearly, but I'll even throw another name in the hopper. He's not going to go top five, but Book Knight from UConn. You want to talk about Damian Lillard profile? I mean, this guy he's not incredibly proficient from downtown. I'm not sure what, I don't have it in front of me, what Lillard shot from behind the arc in college. I'm guessing it was functional, but not like Steph Curry at Davidson. But Book Knight's the kind of guy who, I don't know. I think if he gets drafted to the right situation, he's 6'5", not 6'3", 6'5", and he's got a penchant for making tough shots. Like, I saw him a lot with UConn. Book Knight, to me, in very short time, is going to be a 20-plus point-per-game guy. And the other aspect, so I really do like this draft. I definitely like it more than you. I love this draft here.
39% Lillard in college, by the way.
Was it that high?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, then, that is damn good. What was Book Knight? I think Book Knight was about 30% in college, 31.5%. The one problem is you had to take a lot of bad shots.
Yeah. When you play on teams like that.
UConn wasn't bad, but he was the guy. I think I read he was around 31%. He wasn't great from downtown. Stu Getz is going to look that up. But the other factor, the other variable we have here is that we have two monster markets, the two biggest markets out there, motivated by different things.
32%.
32%. There you go. I thought it was 31.5. Okay, there you go. Low 30s. And better shot selection, better mechanics. Mm-hmm. He'll easily get into the mid-30s with his eyes shut and definitely sniff 37.5, which is the league average, if not better, soon. But the Lakers, so you have the big market Lakers who have no money.
Mm-hmm.
They are cash-strapped in terms of the salary cap, not in terms of what they generate. They are desperately trying to do something to get, one more championship out of LeBron.
Yep.
So they're going to be players at whatever's happening. And then you've got the opposite end of the spectrum, similar financial portfolios in terms of what they generate. But the Knicks, who have been bad but had a little flicker of optimism, actually a big flicker of optimism this year, and they've got tons of cash and all the first-round picks that you would want. So they're going to be sitting at the table. So you got East Coast and West Coast representation. You got three all-stars. You got the Simmons situation. You have a draft that I happen to love. This is a pretty good few days for the NBA here.
I'm not saying it's not going to be intriguing, but the jury's going to be out for me on where these draft picks are all wins.
No, I got this is going to be a bust,
mainly,
of course.
Mainly because
was man, anybody talking about Giannis the night he was drafted? No.
No.
Couldn't even say his name.
Well, he was 15th.
Well, exactly.
He was the 15th pick, and he was 6'8 and a half.
And he was about 35 pounds less than right. he is now. He's gotten pretty yoked, as we know.
He has.
Ack is getting ready for the update. He is a big college hoops head as well. Book night. I mean, I know you love the kid from UConn. Who do you see him? Do you see him as a big-time scorer in the NBA? Are you as high on him as I am?
I don't know. I like him, but I don't know if you're going to put him in that Damian Lillard strata. I don't know if I'd go there just yet.
Do you like the draft in totality?
I do. I think there's a lot of depth there.
Yep.
I think the top five or six picks are really, really good. They're not, you know, of the LeBron ilk, but I think they will be really, really good players.
Yeah.
And I think Toronto sitting there at number four is going to get somebody very, very good.
Agreed.
But I also think they're, you know, like with every draft, we see guys slip to the back of the first round and they wind up going to good teams. If you're, let's just even say the Knicks at 19, you know, if there's a Jalen Johnson from Duke there.
Duke, yep.
That, you know, if you could afford to be patient there, you might have something. There,
yep.
There are those guys back there. A lot of people are big on Zaire Williams of Stanford, who did not have a great season but was a very big recruit coming out of high school. You know, if you're one of those good teams and you could afford to wait on one of these guys, you might find something really good at that area.
Look at Ack. Ack's first contribution to the show in months.
I love it, Ack.
Nicely done. I knew you could handle that. Good job. Ack is a huge basketball fan as well. Let's get the update from Rich. We'll come back. Teek and I'll hit the blast, wrap up a Wednesday show. All right, Teek and Tierney back here on CBS Sports Radio. It is time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from Jack, who's in Milwaukee. And obviously, Aaron Rodgers, the huge story. If you missed anything, just go to youtube.com/Teeky and Tierney, Twitter at Teeky and Tierney, all the stuff, everything Teek and I did. Jack is in Milwaukee, wants to talk about this, and he says, what odds would you give on Rodgers being in Green Bay to start the 2022 season? Odds.
What are the odds that the Packers win the Super Bowl, BT? Do you know?
I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know. I would say that they're probably about plus 400?
So,
I mean, that's a guess.
So whatever that odd is, that's the odds of him being back in 2022 because they'll want to run it back.
Yeah, I hear you. I almost feel a little more encouraged that they can maybe salvage this thing over time, even if they don't win the Super Bowl, but we'll see. I understand why Jack and every other fan in Wisconsin would want to know that answer. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, nothing new on Dak Prescott, right, Stu Getz? I know you've been following that, tracking that with vigor. Nothing new if you missed it. They were mid-series,
yeah.
And he just basically jogged off the field. And, you know, you say, well, maybe you have to go to the bathroom. That's fine. And that's, you know, we're all humans. But he didn't return. And then the Cowboys on social media put it out that he had arm soreness. And that is it's a story to watch a little bit.
Agreed.
A little story to watch, right?
Yeah, not something to just brush off. Because, again, it's only one day. He'd been there for one day,
yeah.
And he's had arm soreness. That usually doesn't happen.
No.
Unless there's something else going on.
So. Unless the only way I could see arm soreness after a day is if he, because he was so inactive for a while, he jacked it up too hard because his ankle didn't allow him to throw with the zip.
I feel like we heard that he looked great in the OTAs and everything.
No, we did. We heard that. I mean? We saw some video, too. But we'll see. Hopefully he's good. Still no Zach Wilson signing with the Jets, the only first-round pick who was not signed.
Two weeks later. Zach Wilson finally signs.
There's no way.
He's not going to start the season because he's not ready.
Not to this degree. I mean, you know, not to this degree. And by the way, who do we play in week one? Play Sam Darnold, the Panthers.
Of course.
That's amazing.
Of course.
Maybe Sam could play for both teams. All right, Teek, you ready for the blast? See what we got?
Let's do it.
Go ahead.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Teeky and Tierney.
All right, the Dan Campbell era in Detroit underway. The new head coach told reporters yesterday what he's expecting from the team this training camp.
We're going to treat them like men until they prove otherwise. I mean, I gave them four rules last night. That was it. My four rules. Don't be late. Keep your weight in check.
don't disrespect your teammates, and don't disrespect this game. Those are the four.
Okay. Yeah, the fifth rule should be do everything the opposite of Lions of the past. So what are our thoughts on Campbell's rules?
I love that, man. Don't be late. Stay in shape, basically. Yeah. Don't disrespect your teammates and don't disrespect the game by being an ass.
Yeah.
I think they're great. I think this is why I loved Dan when I played with him. This is why I think I'm going to love him as head coach because he's a straight shooter. He just says it like it is.
Yep.
And if it's offensive to you or upset you, so what?
Mm-hmm.
Deal with it. You're
mm-hmm.
a football player, man.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I love Dan.
Yeah, we weren't on camera when we heard of the first two, and Teak was nodding his head, so I knew which way he would go. Sensible. I mean, you know, and first of all, if you keep your weight down, that means you're in great shape. You're
That's
doing
right.
what's required of you from a conditioning point of view. So it's four simple bullet points, but there's extensions to that. If you're respecting the game, that means you're practicing with integrity. So mm-hmm. yes, it's four bullet points, but it's far more. All
yeah.
encompassing.
I agree. Yeah,
he just simplified it, dumbed it down, and all four make a ton of sense. I'm rooting for Dan. I like him.
PE majors. Coaching PE majors.
That's right. That's right. Get those kneecaps, coach. All right. For the first time since being drafted by the Cards back in 04, wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald wasn't at the first day of the team's training camp as the free agent's future still in limbo. Their head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, was asked about Fitz's absence.
We led in his court. I mean, he's earned that. That's how we felt as an organization. So that's where it's at.
Okay. Short and sweet. The question is, are the Cardinals actually better off without Fitz on the field? I mean, listen, I don't know how much longer he could squeeze whatever he squeezed out of his body, which is nothing short of miraculous.
Yeah.
One of the all-time receivers, one of the all-time people. He is going to be missed in the NFL. I don't think he's ever going to disappear from the world. He's going to do a lot of great things. But I think it's time. I do think it's time. Now, they won't be better off the field. You can make the case they won't be better.
Mm-hmm.
On the field, I think it's time.
Yeah.
Respectfully, I think it's time for all-timer. It's time.
He'll be 38 this season, BT. He only had one touchdown last year, which is, I mean, just surprising for him because he's just one of those guys that always seems to find the end zone. Are they better off without him? Probably. But I can't say that about Fitz. I love the dude, man.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know what I mean?
I didn't want to say it either.
I feel like if he wants to play for as long as he wants to play, let him play for as long as he wants. Now, they have AJ Green.
That's right.
DeAndre Hopkins are there. And this kid, Andy Isabella, who we all like. And they drafted Rondell Moore.
From Purdue.
Yep. Christian Kirk. Like, they're deep wide receiver-wise.
And that's part of the reason why I said what I said. So they're very deep. Kirk's a good player.
Probably yes, but it's just, I hate to say it.
I got you. Just showing respect.
Yeah, exactly.
Got you. So then don't say it. We got you. The NBA is moving forward, implementing new rules that will reduce the use of non-basketball moves players use to draw fouls. Now, this has been a point of emphasis for a while. You hear it dissected on the broadcast all the time. Some of the moves that will be targeted include launching into a defender,
mm-hmm.
all right? So, like, maybe a pump fake and then you kind of going into the defender, which is always called on the defender, but the rule of verticality,
yeah.
I mean, it's not a foul. It shouldn't be. Abruptly veering off path, which I hate. Chris Paul does, like, you dribble forward and then you kind of stop and reverse and
mm-hmm.
guy runs into you, foul. Kicking out the leg at an abnormal angle. We saw that in the finals. Reggie Miller did that for years.
Yep.
And hooking the defender with the off arm. How much of an impact will these changes have? These are interesting.
Huge one, BT.
Yeah.
I think that last one is probably the most impactful because guys do that all the time to get into the lane. They hook, whether it's like overtly with their arm
yep.
or with their elbows. Because these guys have enormous arms,
yeah.
so their elbows are like my entire arm,
yep.
right? And they
yep.
can hook around somebody, even if it looks like they're not trying to do something. But I also think in some ways for a guy like James Harden, who always like side jumps into you and shoots that three-pointer, it's actually going to force him to shoot some more like on-target three-pointers.
Yeah.
It actually might help his game in some regard. So it's going to impact significantly a lot of the fouls that are called against defenders because now they're going to be offensive fouls, which I think is the right way to do it.
It's just become too easy to score in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, between the way they officiate at the rim,
mm-hmm.
between the mindset of the players in the game, just
yep.
a willingness to, you know, throw an elbow. And,
yep.
I'm not saying you hurt anybody, but those guys are no longer in the game. Maybe two or three remain, very few. Coaches who don't coach that aggressively. Thibodeau does, Spoelstra does, a few others do. Not many. That's even gone. So I just think you'll get a little more feel for who are the great scorers. Like, just too many guys average 17, 18, 19, and it shouldn't be that easy. So I think the impact will be big, and it's going to take some stars a while to adjust. And if the refs are really vigilant with this new implementation, meaning they called it from opening night, you're going to see some players maybe for the first couple of weeks try to find their way and us saying, well, you know, why isn't so-and-so having a great start to the season? Because they're playing a different way. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right, take a little baseball for you. Strasburg, Steven Strasburg's short season officially came to an end. Announced he's going to have season-ending neck surgery. So, I mean, this is just a repeatable theme here. He's always banged up, which stinks. He signed the 7 years, $245 million deal in 2019. He's pitched just 26 innings. Remember, he was hurt early as well, not at San Diego State. And he has an ERA of 5.75. Yikes. Should pro sports teams be able to recoup salaries or avoid contracts for players who are constantly injured? I think that there's a fairness. Listen, there's Lloyd's of London's, and players have this. They're able to insure themselves, get insurance there.
Agreed.
You know, I would be okay with this because what I hate is when a team goes out of their budgetary comfort zone for like one or two occasions and it burns them. And then they're not even reluctant, they're fiscally unable to even try to do anything, and it puts them back 3, 5, 6, 7 years, sometimes more. I'd like to see a little ability to recoup within reason. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Recoup, but I think it would need to be a combo because you also don't want to not allow a guy who earned it to get paid. And so you maybe there's a salary cap way to address this, and then obviously with insurance to cover the injury side. Yeah, they should be able to do this to an extent, but they also just got to be smart about who they're paying.
Okay. Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I mean, Steven Strasburg, BT, as you mentioned, we remember this right when he came into the league. It was on a pitch count and all these other things. It's just, it's something that's been a concern for a lot of years with him.
Yep.
And to give him a 7-year, $245 million deal, knowing that these issues are likely to pop up again, I mean, I don't want to say it's irresponsible because I think you had to do it, but you just kind of knew. Make it shorter. Give yourself an out at some point. And they didn't.
Yeah. This just broke about 20 minutes ago. The game between the Nationals and the Phillies has been postponed. Washington deals with a COVID-19 outbreak. And that complicates the scheduling, but it also complicates the possible trading of Trey Turner.
Yeah.
I mean, so
you got to think that the MLB...
What is this damn virus just going to get the hell away from us forever? Please get lost.
You got to believe that MLB will create contingencies for that, right?
Yes, but it just complicates it. Especially, like, I think the Yankees probably wound up with Story more so than Trey Turner. But the Yankees don't have any wiggle room.
That's
so whomever they get, they need him to come in and play right away. If Turner's out, COVID protocol, 10 days, whatever, maybe more, Yankees don't have a – they got to win.
I know.
They had a nice win last night. But maybe if you're a team that has a nice cushion and you're looking at getting a player, that's a little different. But, yeah, I mean, today alone. So baseball game postponed, Lamar Jackson, COVID-19, not out of it yet. Heads up, stay vigilant, do what you got to do. T, hit that camera, buddy. Ooh, not bad, but
close.
That was awful.
I was close enough that it looked like I hit it because it went across the lens.
The power of illusion.
Exactly.
Have a great night. Safe, sensible, and sane. Remain so. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.